This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.
Hi, my name is Amber, calling from the National Gallup poll. Not selling anything. We're just conducting a very short poll concerning the upcoming election in your state. We'd like to include the opinions of your household. To do that, I just need to speak with the person 18
during this presidential election year, pollsters are making thousands of calls like that one. They're trying to predict how millions of people intend to vote. Their surveys produce different results. To understand how polls work and whether we can trust them, we contacted the head of the Gallup organization. Its founder, George Gallup, invented modern polling in 1936. The Gallup organization's current head is Frank Newport. He provided tapes of his interviewers at work for the latest installment of our occasional series on polling. Newport says he's commonly asked how you could possibly know the views of the whole country from a few interviews.
As George Gallup used to say, when you go to the doctor to have your cholesterol checked, he doesn't draw all the blood out of your body. He seems to be quite content just to take a small sample out of your finger or your arm. Same principle. Sampling works. A sample drawn correctly will, in fact, represent what you would get if you talked to everybody.
If you took a poll of 1,000 people, and the result that you ended up publishing was 50% for Bush, 50% for Kerry, does that mean that there were actually 500 people who said, I'm voting for Bush, and 500 who said for Kerry? Or are there different percentages of people and that sort of thing?
Generally speaking, with 1,000 people, it would be roughly 500-500 if the numbers showed 50-50. Now, we do some things to the data when it is an election. We pull it down to likely voters. So even though we may start with a sample of 1,000 people, we may only have 750 people whose views we're taking into account when we report likely voters.
You just hit on one of the most interesting questions, the question of the likely voter versus the unlikely voter. Mr. Newport, how do pollsters determine who is really going to vote in an election?
Here at Gallup, we ask a series of questions of people, most of them near the front of the questionnaire before we even ask who they're going to vote for. Things like,
how much thought have you given to the upcoming election for president? Quite a lot or only a little? Do you happen to know where people who live in your neighborhood go to vote? Have you ever voted in your precinct or election district? And then, how often would you say you vote? Always, nearly always, part of the time, or seldom?
Questions like that, which when validated over the years, show to be pretty good predictors of probability of voting. And we assign everybody a score. You know, if you answer every question right, you're interested in the election, you say you're going to vote and all that, you get a high score and you're likely to vote.
Now, you ask a number of questions to try to nail down people's political preferences, not just who they're going to vote for, but how they feel overall about different office holders and different issues. And let's listen to some tape of one of your interviewers doing that.
Do you approve or disapprove of the way George W. Bush is handling his job as president? Do you approve or disapprove of the way Congress is handling its job?
Frank Newport, why start with that classic overall question? Do you approve or disapprove of how the president's doing?
Dr. Gallup developed it back in the days of Franklin Roosevelt. So we have a trend on that question, which is simply unparalleled. I mean, right now, George W. Bush has a 52% job approval rating, which if this was the first time we had ever asked the question, we wouldn't know whether that's good or bad. But because we've asked it literally thousands of times across all the presidents that we've had since Roosevelt, we can put him right in perspective. We know exactly where his father was on that same measure in September of 1992, for example, when he was running for re-election. So it's a great question. We usually ask it first, or near the front in an interview, because we don't want to have it influenced by the other questions that we might ask later on down the survey.
You can skew the results based on the way that you ask a question.
Yeah, I hesitate to use the word skew, because I really don't think there's such a thing as a bad question. It's just you need to look at how it was asked.
If you ask the question, are you concerned about the level of U.S. casualties in Iraq, that might get a different response from the same group of people than if you asked about whether you, say, support the idea of democracy in Iraq.
Precisely. And we learned from that. You know, the analyst of public opinion takes that into account and says, here is a zone in which public opinion moves. If you stress casualties, it'll drop to this level. If you don't, it expands to this level. So you say public opinion on Iraq is operating in a, say, 20% zone. There's no such thing as one question that summarizes totally Americans' attitudes towards Iraq.
You've told us a good deal about the kind of questions that you ask for these public polls. How are they different from the questions that the campaigns are asking in their polling?
Well, in some ways they're not. The pollsters who work for the candidates are extremely bright people. They do very, very good polling. Private polls for candidates would do probably more scenario polling than we do publicly. They're trying to look ahead, so they might say, if you knew that, and they would test out four or five things you could know about the candidate to see which ones seem to play best and which ones don't. And in the Swift Boat ads, you know, it's no doubt perhaps that some pollster privately was testing like 10 different more negative things that one could find out about John Kerry. And for each one, they would look at swing voters and see which ones seemed to move the needle the most. And the ones that did, no doubt that's the ones you're going to see more of in a campaign. That's how campaign polls are used.
You seem to be saying that if you don't have time to look at some of the fine print on a poll, you shouldn't necessarily trust it as an average news consumer.
It's tough. Polling often is not presented to consumers in the media in a way which is conducive to really understanding public opinion. I believe it's a real problem.
Frank Newport is the author of Polling Matters and the head of the Gallup poll. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
The latest Gallup poll had President Bush leading by 13 points. Other recent polls showed him dead even with John Kerry. So we asked Frank Newport about that discrepancy. He says the different numbers probably reflected the different ways the organizations did the polls rather than any major changes among voters. Newport advises voters not to rely on any one poll.